And welcome back. Now to Jim Howard. The Easter recess is over for Washington lawmakers. They return to their desks with a lot going on. And our man in Washington, Jim Howard, joins us for a few minutes for an update. Jim, it seems to me that with this flurry of political candidates suddenly announced, that this could represent quite a distraction for lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Will it?
I would maybe from the perspective of being on the Hill and being immersed in this, I wouldn't call it distraction as if something else is more important. I would say from the perspective of just about everyone on the Hill, this is the main event. This is all about what the posturing and the budget proposals and the policy pronouncements and all of those things. This is what this is all about. For most voters and citizens across the country, when you get outside the Beltway, they might hear that and be frustrated and say, of course, it's a distraction. It takes us away from what we should be doing. But this is the game. It's a company town.
It's going to shade, I suspect, just about everything that happens over the next 16 months. It's all going to have a political component of some sort.
I absolutely. If you look at the position the Republicans in both the House and the Senate took with the budget resolution that they passed right before the two-week break, the biggest piece of that was to do away with the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. That is a huge element in their positioning for the upcoming elections. They would propose making some changes in tax structure across the federal government. That's another big issue to run on. So all of these proposals, all of these items that I would call news release bills, allow you to generate something back home. And one of the conflicts that centers in part on lawmakers from the Illinois and Missouri area, the human trafficking bill, is all caught up in the posturing and the positioning of trying to paint the other guy as the bad guy going into the election.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the whole budgetary process, because I think a lot of people are mightily confused. They understand what Republicans are trying to do with regard to Obamacare, but where do we stand with regard to putting together a budget?
Well, the budget, and I've learned some of this anew. I used to deal with it somewhat from a distance, but when we hear about crafting a budget by April 15th, for the first time in, about 5 years, we've actually had a budget resolution that both majorities, the Republican majority in the House and the Republican majority in the Senate, were going in very, very similar directions. There are still differences. But there was this Herculean session in the Senate on the Friday before, Thursday night, the Friday before everybody left town for the 2 weeks, that is locally known as Votorama. And it is known as that, and it's referred to that on the floor and in the media. But it's where the senators spent 15 hours adding all sorts of amendments, not all of them having anything to do with the budget, but they've got some special language, an ingredient they put into their legislative proposals or into their resolution proposals that allow non-budgetary language to go into the budget resolution. But the resolution is just that. It is a resolution. It is not a bill. It will never go to the president. It never has the force of law. And only the majority, or almost very, very, very few occasions, will targeted members of the minority actually vote for the majority's budget resolution. But it's the foundation upon which they do battle with the opposing party, and on which they get individuals in the opposite party on the record in difficult votes.
I heard a piece that you did earlier today in which Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, the Missouri Democrat, is calling for more transparency. What are her concerns?
Well, you hear this on both sides. Senator Blunt has talked about transparency in the process. He certainly had his criticisms when Senate Democrats controlled the budget resolution process in the Senate. We won't get into the House at the moment, but just dealing with our two senators from Missouri. Both have decried this Votorama, this process of putting all of these resolutions out there and amendments to the resolution, because they really are just sort of a gotcha game. And right before break, Senator McCaskill sat in her office and did an off-the-record meeting with several reporters who cover Missouri issues out here on the Hill. And she said, you know, there's no way that she can pass on taking these votes, because then we in the media and her opponents would say that she missed a whole slew of votes. The same thing would be said about Senator Blunt if he were to miss them when the Senate Democrats controlled it. But it's part of the game. It's part of what has become some of the toxic mix here in Washington of one-upsmanship or drawing people out. And her argument was, you know, rather than confuse people with this process, let's actually get to the appropriations bills, the ones that actually determine the spending that goes to the different agencies. And we'll have 12 of those bills before this is done. But she said, let's actually debate those on the floor. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has said that he wants a more open process. We'll see if that's what unfolds. But the appropriations process can be confusing by itself, even when you take the politics and the posturing away from it.
So is anybody going to be listening to Senator McCaskill, or is it just, as you indicate, more of the same?
Well, I think it's a legitimate concern no matter who presents it, and individuals in both parties have presented it, but I also believe that they are part of a force greater than themselves. Even the night that the Senate was, I think, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Senator Harry Reid, the minority leader, trying to appeal to members on both sides of the aisle to cut off all the different amendments, tried to argue that, you know, nobody's reelection was going to be determined by those votes that night. He said that. He got his piece out there. Media reported it. We reported it. But they kept on voting on the amendments because they want to get these things locked down. You know, and we've got two interesting races nationally. We've got Roy Blunt up for reelection in Missouri, and Mark Kirk, probably the number one Republican target in the country, or if not the number one, very close to it, in Illinois coming up for reelection. So everybody wants to get somebody on a vote to see if they can do them some damage.
So that takes us back to politics again, as if we've ever left it. And just sticking with the earlier point, I'm getting the very clear impression that given what's going on nationally, that the polarization issue is not going to be getting any better. In fact, it's probably going to be getting worse.
I don't see how. And now, there's a difference between, I would argue, polarization and sort of a toxic mix. You know, we can have our partisan and passionately partisan politics here in Washington. I don't see many pieces of legislation that are going to find lots of middle ground. You know, Senator McCaskill has got this campus sexual assault legislation, the Campus Safety Act, that has a very interesting and very broad cross-section of bipartisan support. It did last year when she introduced it the first time. It did again this year when she reintroduced it. What is yet to be seen is whether or not presidential politics will affect that bill, because one of its co-sponsors is Marco Rubio from Florida, recently announced as a candidate for president. And we just don't know whether or not that's going to get put on. It's the same thing as human trafficking. It's a mom and apple pie kind of bill left to its own devices. But when you bring in the influence of an electoral year, it could change everything.
Let's talk a little bit about human trafficking, because our 2nd District Congresswoman Ann Wagner is very much a part of the debate here. Where does that stand now?
Well, the House bill and the Senate bill are similar, but they are different bills. When the language that Representative Wagner and Senator Mark Kirk both proposed in their own legislation, the focus would be to get at the advertising of sexual services in places, and they both use the example of Backpage.com. It tries to go at the profit side of human trafficking by making the advertising of these services a crime. The bill came out of the House with no language on it concerning using fees collected under this, under the penalties, to pay for abortions. That language wasn't there. It's language that mirrors the Hyde Amendment federally that blocks the use of federal dollars for paying for abortions. When it got to the Senate, somewhere in the process, the language was added, and it was added, and Senate Democratic staffers missed it. Senator McCaskill has said they just completely missed it. So it got out of committee with Democratic votes. Then somebody discovered this language was in there, and essentially an expansion of the Hyde Amendment. And Democrats on the floor of the Senate have balked and have the numbers at the moment to block the bill from coming for a vote. And that tied very quickly into President Obama's effort at getting Loretta Lynch confirmed as the next attorney general. Mitch McConnell, majority leader in the Senate, expressing his frustration at the Democrats on this move, have said he will not call the Loretta Lynch vote up for consideration until the Democrats at least allow the human trafficking bill to come forward. Both sides are accusing the other side of playing politics with victims of sexual trafficking.
So the Lynch nomination is being held hostage to this particular issue.
It's being held hostage until some deal can be worked out to allow the bill to go forward, or if something happens. In the meantime, you have Republicans painting Democrats as insensitive to, you know, sexual violence victims, and you have Democrats likening Loretta Lynch to Rosa Parks and making this very much a racial issue.
Just to change the subject for a moment, because our time is winding down, I was a little surprised at how quickly Senator Durbin from Illinois pulled back from the Senate minority leader's race that emerges as Harry Reid announces that he's going to retire. Did that catch you by surprise? He's an ambitious guy.
I don't know the full background on that one, and I do have an opportunity. I've known Senator Durbin for about 30-plus years from my days back in Springfield. what we do know, or at least what has been reported, is that Senator Reid informed Senator Schumer of New York of his plans not to seek re-election about 8 hours before Senator Durbin was notified. At that point, everything after that gets to be a question of what was said without witnesses around, whether or not Durbin would support Schumer for the new minority leader position or the Democratic leader position, depending on what the outcome of the next election is. Durbin says he went to Schumer and said he supported him for it, and that Schumer reportedly supported Durbin to stay on in the whip position. We don't know what's going on between those two guys. They used to be very close. They used to live together. They now have parted company. But there's an awful lot of water that has to pass under the bridge before that vote will happen. We'll see what comes out.
Never a dull moment on Capitol Hill. Jim Howard, thanks so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed on some of the issues confronting the Congress and, in particular, our legislators. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Don. My pleasure.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Benjamin Percy about his new book that takes place in post-apocalyptic St. Louis and mirrors the Lewis and Clark expedition of 1804. And then we'll take a look at how the Organization of American Historians and National Conference is seeking to link recent events in Ferguson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.